Say hello to Dennis Lynn of The Athletic, who joins us on Extra 1360. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
I'm great. How's Washington, D.C.?
It's good. Had to catch a red eye. Some flight cancellations, so a little bleary out here, but ready to see some Juan Soto homecoming action.
All right. Juan Soto homecoming action. How much of the storylines for the weekend, Dennis, revolves around Luke Voit facing his former team?
I'd say less than 5%.
Really? He was a very popular player, I'm told, on social media.
Yeah. But I think you have to also factor in how long he was in San Diego versus someone like Mackenzie Gore, who just played catch on the field first time since he got hurt in Detroit. So I guess that's a big step forward for him. But, yeah, Luke Voit, good teammate, good guy. Hit some homers, smashed some homers. But in the end, he only had a couple months in San Diego. So it was sad personally to see him go. He's still got a major league job. So I think that's a silver lining for him.
Dennis, did you have any thoughts on Luke Voit? He spoke to the Union Tribune about no correspondence with Eric Hosmer, at least as the timing of the story, that Eric Hosmer turned down a trade. It ends up being Luke Voit. Luke Voit said something to the effect of, I'd probably have done the same thing, right? I'd rather go have at least a chance to win someplace else. I tend to think that that's sort of a non-story, but yet again, here I am bringing it up on radio, so I'm sort of I'm just talking out of both sides of my mouth.
No, I'm inclined to agree with you, Darren. I think, he said it best that if you were Eric Hosmer, you probably would have done the same thing. It was part of his contract, Eric's contract, that he had 10 teams per year that he could choose, and he could choose these teams or he could switch out these teams every year up until this year that he could veto a trade to. And, yeah, Boston obviously was a much more appealing option to him, and I don't think he necessarily owes Luke anything, maybe not even explanation, because it was part of his contract. So if fans are a little miffed that Luke Voit had to go to D.C., I don't know what to tell him. I think, with the trades that they made, he probably wouldn't have much of a spot in San Diego anyway. So this is probably best for him coming up with another year of arbitration to get more playing time in D.C.
There you go. Dennis Lynn, final word on that subject. Never going to bring this up again. Dennis Lynn for The Athletic joining us on Extra 1360. Dennis, it was an interesting test against San Francisco. I appreciated that from a competitive standpoint, that the Giants pushed the Padres a little bit. I think that's good. I think that was good for the character of the team to have to overcome a couple different deficits, to have to overcome the closer, giving up a lead in his first save opportunity. Let me ask you about that. Do we just want to call that a blip on the radar? Or, did anybody want to read more into what happened with Josh Hader game two of that three-game series?
Well, I think there's one way you can look at it, that the Brewers front office, David Stearns, they're very smart. Whenever you see them trade a closer, arguably the best closer in baseball over the last few years in the middle of a playoff chase, that always makes you raise your eyebrows, kind of go, I wonder what's going on beneath the surface there. I hear some things about his release point kind of drifting up. He's obviously, since he got to San Diego, talked about tipping pitches he was told he was for at least a couple of weeks there recently, which might have explained some of the really bad numbers that he piled up, including against the Giants. He had a career-worst outing against the Giants right before the All-Star break. And, his first save opportunity with the Padres was against the Giants again, and this time he said the difference was just execution. He didn't think he was tipping pitches or anything. But, that's a cause or a concern in itself. There's some concerns about his stuff backing up a little bit, but at the same time, the Padres have followed him for the last several years. They've always really wanted him, so I'm sure they're aware of what's going on, and it's going to be interesting to see if they can address it.
Dennis Lynn joining us from Washington, D.C. What's the name of the stadium, Dennis?
Nationals Park.
Tatis is coming back at some point. I don't know if there's any update on that. But I think the interesting question, Dennis, is defensively what this means. And I don't mean this exclusively to Fernando. But, when you think about how many different options, I wouldn't ask you to name them all. But in terms of having different defensive alignments, man, the Padres are going to have a lot of interesting decisions to make, aren't they, when it comes to how they position some of these players?
Right. They already do with Brandon Drury here, who can play a lot of different positions around the infield. He's already DH'd quite a bit, which kind of speaks to the fact that they do already have other options before they had him. So you add another one to the mix, Fernando, who you'd figure whenever he comes back, mid-August to late August-ish, probably be playing most days, if not every single day, just to ease him back in, depending on how much longer this rehab assignment goes. But I think you'll see him play both shortstop and center field, and you'll also DH. So doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be splitting time at shortstop and center field with Trent Grisham and Hassan Kim, but I think, yeah, they're going to, you know, build in some DH days for him as well to get him off his feet and make sure they're taking things slow. I know they're taking things much more slowly than anyone would have liked, including especially the fans to this point. But, I mean, he's coming back from a major wrist injury, and he's also, you know, I guess in a sense coming back from some shoulder injuries in the past. So they're going to be cautious with him, but I think you're going to see him play both those positions as well at DH.
Interesting, because yeah, I heard this on the Padres radio broadcast the other night. I tweeted it, and somebody responded, Dennis, that you had actually suggested that this very well could be the case. So I apologize if you had put that out there, and I had somehow missed it. And the point isn't, like you said, that he's going to play, it's going to be a strict platoon. It's that they have options for him, and they also have options based on other players as well, with Cronenworth, with Kim, with Drury, et cetera. Like, this is good for Bob Melvin to have this situation.
Yeah, yeah, it's what they call a good problem to have. Probably one of the most overused phrases in baseball, but they do have the versatility and the depth that they really didn't for most of the season, you know, since the trade deadline and with the prospect of Fernando coming back soon. So, you know, Hassan Kim's really a guy who's played himself, you know, into really staying in the conversation whenever Tatis comes back, because he's hit lefties really well. So, yeah, maybe if you know, lefties on the mound, you know, he's at shortstop, Fernando's in center field, but I don't think it's that cut and dry. We'll just have to see how it goes. But Hassan Kim's definitely a guy who's made a case to stay in there.
Dennis, last thing is, you know, the Padres have performed very well against teams that are under 500. 48 to go, so they all feel important, whether you're facing the Nationals, the Marlins, or whether you're facing the Dodgers or the St. Louis Cardinals. But over this road trip, over the next 6 years, what are you looking for? I mean, you know, you're not just a beat reporter. You don't just write about the games and write game stories. But what are you looking to see here over the 6 days that you're dispatched with the club?
Well, I guess, first of all, you'd like to see this offense do what it did the last couple days after going 26 innings without scoring. And that obviously wasn't going to last forever, and you saw it the past 2 days. But, yeah, it's Giants are not a great team this year. Everyone has seen that for weeks, maybe months now. But they're going to face more of those teams, so they can only, you know, take care of what's in front of them. And these teams coming up are it's a pretty soft schedule. So the offense, everyone clicking at the same time is what the Padres need. And at the same time, I think I'm really interested to see how these starting pitchers, some of whom have really struggled here recently, how they either round back into form or they continue struggling or somewhere in between, because come September, October, those are some really big games and they're still figuring out who they can trust. And I think they know there's a couple guys they can trust more than others, but they were looking at starting pitchers around the trade deadline for a reason. You know, maybe in some cases a backup in case Soto didn't happen, but they need these guys to step up if they're going to, you know, go far in the playoffs. If they can hit, that's great, but if they're going to give up a bunch of runs in October, that's no good for them. So I think the starting pitching is something to watch down the stretch.
All right, Juan Soto press conference starts in 4 minutes. Dennis, are you ready with a question?
I think the Washington media probably is ready for it with a lot of questions. So right now I'll sit back and see how it unfolds, but it looks like he's coming out right now.
See you later, Dennis. Thank you. Have a safe trip.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Got it. Dennis Lynn, everybody, for The Athletic. How about that? We're giving you live play-by-play from inside of the stadium at Nats Park. Inside of the stadium, Dennis is telling you Juan Soto's coming out of the dugout.
Yeah, here's a picture. Bob Scanlon just posted a picture of just the national media, the Nats media just waiting for him. Crushed.
The Nats media or the national media?
Both.
Who's there? Start naming names. I see Bob Nightingale.
You do?
Is that him down below?
Where?
That's not him?
No, that's somebody else.
Man, these baseball reporters, they oftentimes look very much alike. Who else is there?
I couldn't tell you because it's pretty much back of heads. I'm sure
right.
The crew from Apple.
Apple TV Plus.
Those people.
Tonight?
Yeah.
On the tally.
Mm-hmm.
You can't identify any of them?
I can't identify back of heads and masks. It's a little bit difficult. It's
Jay
a back
Riff,
of a head.
Do you have any skills in that department?
Terrible with names and faces. Sorry.
70470, first word of the text, XTRA. Thank